I'm going to run through where we were last week quickly. We looked at Elijah's displeasure, and the reason that he was struggling is because of the persecution. He was being persecuted by the deep state of Israel, by the king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel. And we talked about that displeasure a couple of weeks ago. And then last week we talked about his despair or his discouragement. And all of that came out of self-pity. He had a moment, and more than a moment, he had about 8 weeks where he checked out. He had a problem. He had a serious emotional glitch. And I gave you the reasons or the causes of his despair. Let me just show them to you again. Physical fatigue, depleted emotions, misplaced vision, personal pride, all of those things get involved in that. I said something last week, and I didn't make any other comment about it. I just said it, but I want to extract it and get it in your mind's eye, in your mental mill. And that is, I want you to ponder the reality of this. I said this quickly last week. The spiritual man tends to ignore the physical as the cause of becoming discouraged. On the other hand, the worldly man tends to ignore the spiritual as the cause of becoming discouraged. Both of them have blinders on, and both are wrong. They have to take those blinders off. And so when we look at reality, we will have circumstances come into our life that's going to discourage us. None of us are above it. We're going to have things surprise us. We're going to have things come into our lives that we wish would never come into our life. We're going to make decisions that we wish that we had never made before. We're going to have those times. We are human. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's good to experience sin so that you can learn. You've heard me say many, many times, the best teacher is what? The truth. Experience is not the best teacher. The world will tell you that, but that's not true. This Bible is the greatest teacher. Truth is always better than circumstances. Truth will keep you from wrong circumstances. So we looked at the causes. But I want to answer another question. Here's a second question, and we're going to dig these little nuggets out. We're going to go to the text here and point them to you here. And that is the conduct. That was manifested because of his despair. Watch what happens to him. First of all, we see that he changed locations. Last week I said he did not just leave Jezreel, he left Israel. He left the country. And he changed locations. Look at verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. And came to Beersheba. That in itself is 100 miles south of the city, which belongeth to Judah. Judah was the southern nation of Israel. Israel was the northern nation. Judah was the southern nation. He's now left his home country. And he left his servant there. And I put this little thought in your mind, and we'll get to it tonight, Lord willing, hopefully. And that is, who is his servant? And that's very important for us to think about. But he himself went a day's journey, look at verse 4, into the wilderness. So now he went another 30, 35 miles. And came and sat down under a juniper tree. So he left his location. Now watch this. Do you know what many people do when their circumstances aren't in their favor? They find a way out. I don't like this job. So you leave. I don't like my spouse anymore, much less love him or her, so you leave. And then you have to fight the battle, who's right and who's wrong. There's always three stories when someone leaves. His story, her story, and the right story. You have to think it. You're going to have to think through it. Best thing to do is not leave. Stay and work it out. Elijah didn't do that. He ran. I'm glad that when I see strong men and women go through deep trials, they don't run, they don't blame shift, they take responsibility, they realize their failure. That's character. That takes character. That takes conviction. But the average person will run, try to run from their problem. Jonah did. Didn't help him any, did it? We find it all the time. Secondly, he judged his ministry as a failure. He said, oh, everything I've done for the Lord is a failure. And it wasn't so. Just like someone shouldn't judge their circumstances as their last 20 years was a failure. No, there's many blessings along the way when things crumble. A lot of blessings. But he judged his ministry as a failure. Look at verse 4, the C part of the verse. For I'm not better than my fathers. He played down the success that he had on Mount Carmel. And he magnified the fact that Jezebel wanted to kill him. It was on his mind. He forgot about what had happened just a few days before on the mount and how God answered tremendous prayer. And fire fell and the rain came. Then number 3, he wanted to quit. It is enough. Look at verse 4, the B part of the verse. It's enough. I've had enough of this. I can't keep going in this direction. So when we look at the conduct that his discouragement caused. Now, I want you to get this. Be careful when you're discouraged and when you're going through the hardest time of your life. That is when you have to be sensitive to what God wants in your life. Not what's the easiest for you to do. Not what's going to benefit you the most. But rather, God, you have to help. You have to help me. You've got to walk through this with me. And you have to be careful. I would not encourage you at all to run. I would not encourage you to look back in that circumstance and see it all as a failure when it's not. Don't get underneath the juniper tree and say, it's enough, I'm just going to quit. Matter of fact, he even went a step further than that. He asked God to kill him. I don't want to live anymore. This brings me to a third question that I would like for us to answer as we dig these little things out of the text. And that is, what consequences resulted in his despair? We know that all of those, the physical fatigue and the emotional drain on him, we know that took a toll on him. To the place to where he began to make wrong decisions. He left the place he should have stayed. God was going to take care of him anyway. Let me ask you a question. We have read the story. And by the way, this is not a magnification of Jezebel. I'm dealing with, right now in the text, we're dealing with Elijah. We'll deal with Jezebel when they fling her down soon as we approach it. But what was the consequences? Now, I want you to think with me about this. Now, this bothers me. This really bothers me because I see how easy this could happen in my own life. Number one, it hindered his spiritual leadership among the nation. All of a sudden, he was the leader. He was the one that brought revival. He was the one that called down fire. He was the one that caused it to rain after 3.5 years of drought. But he got caught up in self-pity. And now the leader's influence doesn't have the impact upon those. Secondly, it discouraged those that had been revived. Think with me about this. Scores, hundreds, and thousands of people experienced revival that day on Mount Carmel. What did they profess? Jehovah, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God. That's the exact quote from the Bible. They experienced revival. And now he has discouraged the revived. He's gone. He's nowhere around. And he left his servant. Many believe, and I lean this way, and it doesn't matter. We'll find out in heaven one day, perhaps. But many believe that the servant was the son of the widow at Zarephath that he raised from the dead, who felt obligated to be mentored by the man who brought him from death. Makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you? And now he leaves his servant, the very one as a little child that he brought back to life. You see, his discouragement had a trickle-down effect. Your discouragement will have a trickle-down effect on your family, on your friends, on those who love you and those who know you best. That's why we have to be careful that we don't run and that we just wait and let God work it out. And then thirdly, he brought great delight to Jezebel. Now, if she couldn't kill him, the next best thing is he leaves the country. And that's what he did. And she probably fumed that she didn't kill him. She sent a messenger instead of an executioner. But you see, we have to remember. Do you remember what God said about Elijah? And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And it repeated that. Why does God repeat that in the Bible? Because he don't want us to forget that when he was at his lowest ebb, in 8 weeks of spiritual conflict in his life, living in a desert, going even further, that God's hand was upon him. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us in the midst of a bad circumstance? Aren't you glad that he sticks with us and he's closer to us than a brother? We'll let each other down. I want to tell you something. God's never going to let you down. He'll never let you down. So the displeasure that he had and the discouragement that came and the self-pity, it drained him. Now there's a happy ending here. We don't have time for it tonight. We'll look at it next week. But there's a tremendous happy ending here as he finally got a hold of himself. And he came out of his slump. And he came out of that slump with God's hand still upon him and God's power upon his life. And there was still a lot of preaching left in him. And he had a lot of prophesying. And that prophesying would involve the deep state of Israel that was persecuting him, the king and the queen. And it would end up in his life that when he got to the end of his ministry, his protege, the man that would come behind him, Elisha, he was so enamored by the man that was mentoring him, that when God said, "Elisha, what would you like?" And Elisha said, "Give me a double portion of the spirit of Elijah." So we have, reaching into the near future in the timeline of the text, we have a wonderful ending. But right now, we're caught underneath the juniper tree. And folks, we've all been there. If you haven't had a bad one yet, just live long enough. You'll get there. You'll have one. It'll involve people that you love. It'll involve family. It'll involve friends. It'll involve moral choices in your life. It'll involve decisions that you're going to have to make. It will involve all that. I want to tell you something. If you're not walking with God, it's easy to turn and go the other way. Try to find an easier place. Try to get out of Dodge. Try to get out of trouble. Try to get out of the reach of Jezebel, committed to killing. God's hand was upon him all the time. He had forgotten that. And humanly, it's easy for all of us to forget that. But when we get to the end of all of this, we find a very strong man whose passions were just like ours, who had failure in his life, but who picked up his life. And he maintained a testimony that brought glory to God and maintained the power of God upon his life. Something I fear that we do not know a whole lot about. And God used him in a wonderful way. He's quite a character, isn't he? I have much respect for him. And I don't criticize him too much for being underneath the juniper tree, because, to be quite honest with you, I found myself there sometimes. And I have to realize I'm going in the wrong direction, headed away from the Lord. I got to get back. I can't do this. Too many people depend upon me. My wife, my children, my grandchildren, the church. We have responsibilities. We just don't walk away from them. We have children. You just don't walk away from them so you can have your good time. That's how your children get taken away from you. Now, I want to tell you something. You got to be a pretty low citizen for the U.S. government to take away your children. You got to be low and full of self. Amen? That's the truth. God help us. We got responsibility. People are depending upon us, and more importantly, God is depending upon us to make the right choices. We have people coming behind us in our shadow and in our shoes. And we want to leave a testimony that shows that we honored God with our life. So in the deepest throes of your problem and your challenge, don't give up. Don't run. Stay steady. Let God work. He will. He's promised never to leave us. Don't forsake us. Would you stand with me, please?